And before we start, another word from our beautiful sponsors.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Buenos dias, mi gente.
Welcome to The Rundown Season 2.
And we're back at it.
We're back at it. Honestly, like, as you know, and as you see the date, it's not July 1st. It's July 10th. But all I have to say is that God just works in mysterious ways. And when you have a plan for something, sometimes it just doesn't happen.
But I'm pretty sure we was just, you know, updating y'all so y'all was ready. And I hope y'all all listening, y'all had more than enough time to prepare and be here with us today.
No, yeah. And, like, honestly, like, it's whatever. But, you know, like, we got a lot of things going on. And we both have lives outside of this podcast. And, yeah, but I'm still happy that we're here. It's July 10th. And it's the first episode of season 2. It's our brand new, rebranded podcast, new colors,
okay,
new fucking
vibe, a whole new vibe,
a whole new vibe. Like, okay, our Instagram is fucking lit. Like, you need to go follow it. All
right,
like,
you if need you to don't go follow it, then what are you doing?
Like, you need to go follow it because stay our Instagram informed. It's lit. Follow that Instagram right now at Officially Weekly Rundown, like, right now, because that Instagram is lit. We always posting. But yeah, like, thank you so much for listening. And what have you been up to, like,
since first the last time we recorded? I'm more than happy to be back and to be doing this because I really do enjoy it. And
as an official host.
As an official host. Like, what? Can you guys believe that? I know y'all happy to have me here. To be honest with you, the last time we recorded that episode, like, from then on now, I know I was stressing about school.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
I,
were.
Yeah, I was
you
super
stressed.
You wanted
to take a break from everything for finals. Yo, and everything.
Yes. So, like, pretty much I've just been recharging, rewiring pretty much because my energy, like, my battery was completely dead after the semester started. I have one more year to go. So, pretty much this summer, I've just been, you know, getting mentally prepared for, like, the next school year. So, I won't have as much of a hard time as I did. But I just been working, going to the beach, you get me, going to the movies.
You've been living your life.
I think so. I would like to think so. You've been living your life. First of all, congrats on your career decisions and everything that has been happening. I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for you.
Since the last time we recorded, I also finished my semester. I have one more semester left. And only have 2 more classes, so that's good.
Okay.
They're online, so I won't ever, ever have to go back to Moncler State University.
I wish!
I just can't. Like, I don't want nothing to do
yo,
with
that's
them.
How
like,
I feel. That's how I feel. I feel like, you know what it is? I feel like the reason why we have this attitude is because we've been outgrowing the whole college environment. Like,
no,
I just don't want
to
be
we already
there.
Went through all of the phases, and yeah. It's like, you go through all of the college phases, and you're supposed to, like, leave and graduate,
yeah.
And it's like, I went through all of them, but I'm still there.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I'm over this shit.
I don't want to be, like, everybody annoys me. Everybody is childish. I don't mm-hmm. want to be, let me not act like I'm cocky and like I'm arrogant, like, no, but what I'm saying is that I'm just not there, like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying, like,
you just outgrew the whole experience.
I
like
just,
you're ready to do the next
exactly
thing.
Like, I'm ready to just not be in school anymore.
Yeah,
but I do have to recognize that the reason why I'm still in school is because of my own decisions and because
Thanks.
You know
it is what it is.
Like,
it is what it is.
So I am graduating this December. Thank the Lord.
Yes.
And yeah, I'm done.
I'm going to be there in the crowd like,
we should do a podcast from graduation.
We should.
So I was interning with NBC, and I was with them since January all the way to July. And after I was there, while I was there, my new employer, ABC News,
yes,
contacted me. And they told me that they were willing to give me a job and that they wanted, you know, for me to be part of the team. And there was no reason as to why I would deny that. And
of course.
I didn't. And I've been there for a week and a half now. And I love it.
So how does it feel wearing, like, the big boy panties?
The big boy panties are definitely, like, very comfortable.
Yes! I love it.
They're amazing.
I love it.
And it's it's also very challenging because, like, I'm not an intern anymore. I'm an employee. Like, I have responsibilities. Yeah. And I have, like, I have, like, real things that I need to do in order... Mm-hmm. Like, if my job doesn't get done, it's noticeable. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, it's like, I'm not... There's no leeway and there's no, like... I'm not saying that everybody's there is cutthroat. Like, you need to do this and you need to do it right. Like, everybody helps. Everybody's... You know, you make mistakes. You learn from your mistakes. But I'm also the type of person that I hate making mistakes. And I hate not knowing something. So, like, every day I go to work and I'm very nervous when I'm at work because I try to, like, be the best I could be. So, it's like, I get very, very nervous.
I can't wait to see what you're going to be like 2 years from now, to be honest.
Honestly, I don't know.
I feel like you're going to be leading shit up in there, okay?
I mean, honestly, hopefully 2 years
from now. I feel like
that's
just the personality you have. So, like, once you have the knowledge that you're lacking right now, like, everything's going to be okay.
You never fucking know. Hopefully 2 years from now, we're fucking touring on, like, with this podcast.
Okay.
Like, coming live from fucking stadiums type shit.
Right.
You know,
you know what's so funny? Somebody was like, you know, because the Remedy's happening, like, in September. So somebody was like, because I told them that we were going to be there. Mm-hmm. So they were like, oh, are you guys going to do a live podcast? And I was like, I don't know how that would work.
That would be very, very interesting.
Yeah. But anyways, it's a class time.
It is class time.
Okay.
And I need that belt to ring.
Okay, class in session, ladies and gentlemen.
For your first lesson, like, oh my God, I just cannot even believe. Like, ASAP Rocky was arrested for gross assault in Sweden. Correct, right?
Let me tell you, my heart is broken for this man.
Let me just tell you the story. So Travis Scott, Shawn Mendes, Tyler, the Creator, G-Eazy, and many more artists have expressed support for the social media movement Justice for Rocky. Hashtag Justice for Rocky. After news broke that he would remain in custody for 2 more weeks while authorities investigated the assault claims against them. The arrest appeared to be in a relation to an incident that took place on Sunday and seemed to stem from a dispute over a pair of headphones. Excuse me?
I heard something different. Excuse me. You go ahead.
I don't know. The kids turned out fine. Star posted footage from what appeared to be the same incident on Instagram on Tuesday. The clip showed the artist and his crew interacting with two men on the streets of Stockholm and then attempting to walk away. They said, "We don't know these guys and we don't want trouble." Part of his caption read, adding that the men allegedly followed them for 4 blocks. The Grammy nominee also shared a second clip in which things got physical between one of the men and a member of ASAP Rocky's security team. Hits security in the face with headphones, then follow us, he captioned the footage. The celebrity also wrote, "I'm innocent," in the comment section, as well as, they trying to arrest me out here now, shaking my head. TMZ also obtained footage that appeared to show the rapper grabbing and throwing one of the men. According to CBS News, 3 other people have been arrested in relation to this incident. Furthermore, the Vienna Convention of Consular Relations is a treaty which both Sweden and the United States signed, in which it is stated that a foreigner like ASAP Rocky that has the right to immediately see an official from the U.S. consulate following their arrest. Sources say that Sweden has violated this treaty after denying access to the American consulate when Rocky asked for the meeting. The official believed that he was denied access because Swedish officials did not want him to see the conditions Rocky is being kept in.
And that's the real tea.
I have an update. Nearly 130,000 individuals, including prominent figures within the music industry, have signed a petition demanding the release of rapper ASAP Rocky from Swedish officials following his arrest on Wednesday, July 6th. So,
First of all, when did you first hear about this story? Because this has been happening. I think I first heard it a little after July 4th. And it's July 10th. So it's been a week so far.
Honestly, I heard it. Like, I heard about it because, like, we cover entertainment at work. And I heard about it a little bit. Like, I heard ASAP Rocky. But I didn't know, like, exactly what was going on. And then when we were finally working on the rundown for episode 1, I'm looking at stories and I'm like, wait, ASAP Rocky is arrested in Sweden?
Yo, first of all, when I hear his name, like, even if he's arrested, just any general news, I just automatically jump, okay? Because that is the love of my life, all right?
ASAP Rocky is amazing and he's beautiful, I guess.
Yes. But the thing is that when I first saw the story, it was actually on Twitter. And somebody had retweeted the video, like, the footage of him, like, tossing, like, the man that was following them. Mm-hmm. But the caption said something along the lines of him defending some women. Because the guy that was following them apparently was also, like, inappropriately slapping and touching the women.
Excuse me?
Yes. So everybody was like, oh, my God, he's so great. Like, he's such a feminist. All this other stuff, right? But then, like, people are like, oh, like, he actually just did that because he was, like... It was like a fan following them. So, like, everybody needs to get the story straight.
Everybody needs to get the story straight. The facts are A$AP Rocky is in jail.
That is what is important.
Another fact is that the conditions that he's being kept in are not conditions of, you know, someone to be in jail in. And bless you.
Thank you.
It's okay. I'm sick too.
I think you got me sick.
Honestly, probably. And also the fact that the Sweden and the U.S. have this, like, treaty and this contract signed. However, they broke the treaty by not allowing him to see, like, a U.S. official. Like,
yeah, actually, and when he did see the official, apparently it was only for, like, 2 hours. And then there was, like, a Swedish official in the office. So they were kind of, like, using that as a threat tactic of what Rocky was allowed to say. So it's not like he was able to have a private meeting with the... American consulate.
Justice for Rocky.
Yeah. I'm just upset because he was taken out of character because he was, like, being followed and harassed. Mm-hmm. So, and he was just defending himself. Yeah.
He was just defending himself, but it's just the fact that, you know, he's a black man and, you know, he's a rapper and, you know, like, they're gonna be taken as, like, oh, they're the violent ones because rappers have this, like, stigma and stereotype that, you know, they're always out looking for problems, they're always on drugs, they're always doing some bullshit. So, like, it's sad. I really hope that things get figured out and justice for Rocky. Like,
Hopefully he gets out before the week ends because he has, like, another week to go. Because they said 2 weeks and it's already been a week.
Yeah. Hopefully. Oh my God. I cannot even. But that was lesson number one. Lesson number two, as we continue, this is, like, it's good news, but it's also, like, very, like, annoying news that, like, we're still dealing with this. It's 2019. So, as you know, the women's soccer team, the women's national soccer team won the World Cup.
Yes! Okay!
Like, girl power. Like, these motherfuckers really went on that field and did their thing. That's like, good. The whole competition, like, winning after win after win after win after win. They played no games. They played no games. They were working OT. And like I said, in the world of women's soccer, the team to beat is the United States women's national team, which is ranked number one in the world. They just won their fourth World Cup on Sunday. Fans give them the rock star treatment. The president argues with them on Twitter all the time.
What? Yes!
Yeah, Donald Trump is always, like, tweeting at them because, like, they came crazy at Donald Trump because, you know, he's just, like...
Donald Trump. He's, like, just orange.
Yeah, like, he literally, like, everything that comes out of his mouth deserves, like, a clapback. Like, that's just... Yeah, anything that he tweets deserves a clapback. And they're unquestionably more successful on the world stage than the men's national team. But according to a class action lawsuit the team filed, the players are not treated as equals to the men's national team. That's a shocker, right?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. All 28 female players sued the U.S. Soccer Federation, their employer, in the U.S. District Court in March, alleging that they are paid less than the men and are provided with less support despite their consistent, outstanding performance. The lawsuit also argues the team's success has translated into substantial revenue generation and profits for USSF. And during the period relevant to this case, the women's national team earned more in profit and or revenue than the men's national team. Meaning that the women's team was creating more revenue for this, like, soccer, like, national soccer company than the men's team. However, the men's team gets paid more.
That is straight up disrespectful. The
Democratic presidential primary candidates have much to say before the team clinched the 2019 Women's World Cup on Sunday. Elizabeth Warren tweeted that the women's team is paid a fraction of what the men earn, and Gillibrand and Kamala Harris tweeted that the women's team should be paid equally. The Soccer Federation denied the claims in the women's lawsuit, arguing in a May court filing that the pay differential between the men and women players is based on differences in aggregated revenue generated by the different teams and or any other factor other than sex, and that the two teams are physically and functionally separate organizations.
That makes no sense to me.
I don't give a fuck. At the end of the day, they have the men's team have not won a World Cup in like 5 years. However, these badass women have won.
I never really understood the logic of the
pay disparity.
Yes. This makes no sense.
Like, I don't get it. Like, honestly, like, it made sense back then, but I do understand why there was a pay disparity back then, because, you know, men ran this country. Men are very arrogant. Yeah. Men were deemed superior by themselves, not by anybody else, yeah, but by themselves. But things have changed. And at the end of the day, now, before, people were not educated enough to understand that women can do the same job as a man. A woman can do the same thing a man does.
But clearly, in this instance, better. Way better.
No, clearly in this instance, way better, because they're winning World Cups, fourth one, when the men have not even won one.
And they're so number one in the world.
Their jerseys, the jerseys that Nike sells, the women's soccer team that Nike sells, are the ones that sell the most out of all jerseys that Nike sells.
Wow.
So this group, this team, they're making money for this corporation, for the soccer team corporation. However, how are they going to be making money and then they're going to be paid less?
I don't understand. Like, where exactly is the lawsuit? Like, what is the status of the lawsuit? Like, have they moved?
It's like in court. Like, you know, they filed. So it's crazy to me. And I'm glad that, like, Democratic presidential primary candidates, like, jumped in and, like, you know,
that's good.
You know, like, they're running for president, and I'm glad that, like, they jumped into the conversation and they said, listen, like, this is an issue that our women's national team is being paid less than the men.
And it's like, just an example for everything else.
Exactly. For any other, like if this is in sports. Imagine in the corporate world. You know what I'm saying? Like, even in TV. In TV, you can always see that. You don't see all of these celebrities and all of these, like, hosts and journalists and, like, presenters and reporters that leave their companies because they found out that their male counterpart is being paid more than them when they're doing the same job. Mm-mm. Like, for example, imagine if, like, 5 years from now, we become the best fucking weekly show ever, which we are.
Right.
And, you know, we start bringing a team of people, and then it's no longer like a thing of like where me and you run, and then it's like you find out that I'm being paid more than you.
I would death slap you in the face.
No, literally.
No.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Like, I completely understand.
Why would
that's why, like, my first reaction to this article was just the bland, like, disrespect to these women's faces.
No, literally.
Like, that's straight up,
like, after winning a World Cup.
Yes, that's straight up disrespect. What are the men doing? Like, scratching their balls? Like, no offense or nothing, but, like, what are they really doing that they're getting paid more than these women?
And, like, after they won the World Cup, they came back to the United States. They were on Good Morning America yesterday, and today they're having, like, the little parade in New York, because when you win a World Cup, it's like they do a parade for you. So they're having a little parade in New York, but yesterday, the captain of the team, she was on, like, different shows, like, talking about, like, the issue, the lawsuit, and everything, and she was just saying that, like, she doesn't want to be in, like, animosity with her employer, which is the USSF. Like, she doesn't want to be, like, in a lawsuit with them. She's saying, like, the team doesn't want to be, you know, like going hand to hand with, like, the people that they play with. Like, at the end of the day, they're all part of the same team. But she's saying that until things are done correctly, they cannot back down. And she also saying that this is always going to be a problem if not only them, but all athletes stand up for this issue.
Yeah.
Because it's not only them. She's saying that the reason why things are like this is because even though women are seen equal now here in this part of the country, there's other places in the world that women are still less than. So that's why, like, it doesn't matter, because this is a world corporation where they're playing world teams, where women in those other places are not being seen as, you know, equal to men.
Yeah.
So she's saying that this is a movement that they're starting because it has to be bigger than just a lawsuit.
And it
has to
be a thing where, like, conversation.
Yeah, it should be a conversation where everybody is coming to the table and, like, agreeing to the fact that everybody should be getting paid the same, or everybody should be getting paid on their performance.
Yeah.
Like, they have won four.
Yes.
They just won today. I mean, this weekend. They should be getting paid more than the men. And until the men win some World Cups, they should be getting paid less. Because I think payment should be based on your performance.
Yes. And especially in this case.
And that's that on that. Like, I am not even going to continue more on that. But, yeah, like, that's just annoying to me that, like... And it just opens your eyes to the fact that there's so many, like, pay disparities between so
everywhere.
Many...
Everywhere.
Like, everywhere.
Everywhere. It just never really makes sense to me. But until then...
Like,
talking about powerful women... For lesson number three, minority leader McCarthy demands that Congresswoman Ocasio apologize for comparing today's immigrant detention centers with concentration camps.
Excuse me?
First of all, let's play the clip of her response, because that's all that needs to be said in this story.
What is she saying?
Well, I think he should apologize for the deliberate conflation and attack on these terms. I think he should apologize for the conditions that he's supporting on the border. He should apologize to the children that have been separated from their parents. He should apologize for his support for widespread human rights abuses. That's what he should apologize for. And until he stops supporting the absolute dehumanizing conditions on our border, I will not apologize for holding him to account for it.
Okay. That's all she had to say. Okay.
First of all, AOC, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, it's literally my political hero.
Yes.
When this woman stepped into the scene, she said, yeah, I am here
to speak about everything that is not being spoken about.
To speak about everything and to speak on behalf of all of the people of color, all of the minorities that need that voice here in the house. And honestly, there's nothing that she could ever do that I can find wrong, because she's just that great of a human and she's out here fighting for me. Like, I feel represented.
Yes, and you know what I love about her too is that she's actually like, she's within our age.
Yeah.
She's like 20.
And she's so smart.
I know, she's so well spoken. And even in the clip you hear her, like, she pretty much said, excuse me. And like, she listed everything that
she has a clapback.
She didn't even think about the clapback. She had it ready.
She had it ready. And like, honestly,
and she's so well spoken.
When she was running, I came across her campaign, because when she was running, I was interning for a congressional campaign for someone in Jersey.
Yeah.
So like, we had to like do research on other congressional women. And I came across her campaign and I was like, she's really dope. But I don't know if she can handle her own in the house. Like, you know, like, she's young, you know, she's an amateur. But she came into this shit like literally... Like,
she knows what she's doing.
She's working OT.
And she knows what the fuck she's talking about.
She's working OT. And honestly, for him to demand for her to apologize for comparing today's immigrant detention centers to concentration camps, I'm sorry, but that's exactly what they are. These immigrant detention centers do not have clean water. They do not have medical care for the people that are in it.
They don't have beds.
They do not have beds. They do not have food. People, children, women, men, elderly are sleeping with like metal blankets, like literally like blankets made out of like foil.
Like foil sheets.
Like, that's disgusting. That's happening in our country. Like, as we sit here in Jersey enjoying our lives, there's people on the border legit being abused by the government that we live in.
And you know what's crazy? I'm kind of like embarrassed to even say this, but the other day I was on Twitter and I came across this, you know how Twitter arguments, like how they lead it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm like embarrassed that I even put like my energy into like going into like a whole discussion with this other person. But pretty much like they were just trying to say, they were trying to completely disregard the conditions that these people are in the concentration camps.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to say that I was dramatic for comparing them. And I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm not even gonna get into it with you. Like, you are absolutely right. Like, whatever you think, go ahead. Like, go with it. Because at the end, like, his argument, like, he didn't even know what side he was on. Like, he was more worried about being right than actually, like being part of a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And learning from what I was trying to say to him. Like, he even tried to say that I was a Trump supporter. I was like, you know what? Yeah, I was like, okay, just go with it. All right, just do whatever. Yeah. So, like, it just goes to show that people are really oblivious mm-hmm. and they don't want to, like, really, like, admit the reality. They don't want to face the reality of things. Like, this is, like, real life. This is stuff that is happening. And just because it doesn't affect you shouldn't mean that you shouldn't take it serious. Because this is, like, people are losing their lives even in concentration camps like this. Like, kids.
Yeah.
So, it's just crazy.
It's honestly crazy. It's honestly just, like...
It's an embarrassment.
It's an embarrassment to this country. It's an embarrassment to the Constitution. It's an embarrassment to our government.
Yo, when I became an American citizen, I told my mom that I was just like, first of all, I was just there. They invited me to like a little ceremony or whatever. Like they was mad, like extra with it. But I was just there to like get my naturalization certificate. So I'm just able to vote. Like that's really all I'm happy about. But I had to like explain to my mom that I'm not really like satisfied with the way that things are ran here and like the United States. ¿Y pa qué fue eso? She came so crazy.
No, but honestly.
But it's the truth. Like, I wasn't really that eager to be there and, like, be, like, recognized as an American.
I commend the fact that you, the reason why you wanted to become a U.S. citizen was because you want to vote. You want the right to vote. Because I think it's so important for millennials to get it in their head that you need to be civically involved.
You need to be informed.
Like, you need to be informed. You need to be educated on what's going on. We have a huge election. A huge election coming on 2020. And you need to know these candidates.
It sucks that we had to learn the hard way like this. But that's really, like, their reality. Like, people need to be informed and they need to be involved. And if you think that your vote doesn't count, you're stupid because that's what they want you to think.
Yeah.
So I'm just glad that I have the opportunity to do so because the last election I was not able to vote and I felt so useless. But yeah.
Well,
while we're on this topic.
While we're on this topic of political stuff, migrant.
Ay, Dios mío.
Oh my God, girl.
Tú tienes que romper pecho.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I cannot breathe.
Bebe un chingo de jugo de chinola.
I. No, porque te voy a poner mal a ti.
Okay.
Just whatever.
Este jugo de chinola está como un chingo de sabrío.
I told you.
Yeah,
we're never eating from there again. Well, moving on to lesson number 4. Migrant crossings at the U.S. border plummet as Mexico cracks down. The number of undocumented migrants being stopped at the U.S.-Mexico border has dropped dramatically in just weeks, remaining at historically high levels, but also representing the first decline in several months. The drop follows an agreement by the Mexican government with President Donald Trump to deploy its own security forces to crack down on asylum seekers. The Homeland Security Department announced on Tuesday that 104,000 people tried to cross illegally or approached a port of entry without proper documentation. A 28% drop compared to May when 144,000 people tried to cross. Almost all of the undocumented immigrants arrived at the border seeking to claim asylum seeking to claim something that is allowed under U.S. law. Acting Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McLeanan, I don't know how to say his last name, I'm sorry, Kevin, told reporters late month that he had seen early indications of the drop after Mexico agreed to deploy its National Guard. Mexico announced the move after Donald Trump threatened to impose tariffs on Mexican imports unless it did more to prevent the travelers from reaching the U.S. border. That he said, in terms of when we're going to know if these efforts in Mexico are making an impact, I think these 3 weeks are demonstrating that they are already doing so. Human rights groups have sounded the alarms on both Mexican government's use of force to stop migrant travel, as well as insisting that families who do reach the border are returned to Mexico to wait out their asylum cases. These groups say migrant families are facing massive shortages of shelter, food, and water, and are exposed to serious crimes, including kidnapping, sexual assault, and violence. Last week, an agency watchdog determined that the U.S. Border Patrol facilities in several areas face such massive overcrowding and unsanitary conditions that one manager called his holding facility a ticking time bomb, as adults were forced into standing room-only cells for weeks at a time.
What?
It also warned that children under the age of 7 were being held past the 72-hour limit without access to showers and sleeping on the floor.
See, that's what really pisses me off about, like, the whole situation. It's the conditions that these people are kept in. Like, it's just like, it goes about...
I think we can do better on just keeping these people. Like, at the end of the day, it's like, these are human people.
Like, I understand they're illegally coming into here, but like, we got to do more than just keeping them in standing only cells.
Literally. And, like, I understand both sides. I understand why these people from Mexico... And it also gets me mad that we're only focused on people from Mexico, because there's so many other people from the world that come into this country illegally. Yes. That come in with... They enter the country legally, but they stay and get illegal status. And... oh, my God. I'm so sorry. It bothers me because these people are coming into this country for a better future, to give their children a better future, and, you know, just to do better. But I also have to understand that, like, you know, things have to be done the right way.
Yes.
And I understand, to a certain extent, I understand the U.S. government when it comes to that. But to keep these people on these...
unsanitary conditions.
Facilities that are unsanitary, that are considering, and I quote, taking time bombs, where people are being held in standing rooms only, meaning that they can't sit down, they can't sleep, they can't lay down, because there's so many people that everybody has to stand in a room. That's inhumane.
Now you're treating them like criminals.
And part of season two, we decided that we were going to tackle more political stories because
it's important.
It's important to understand what's happening. As millennials, our audience, we like to believe that our audience are people our age, young people. And as that being our audience, we want to challenge you guys to, like, know what's going on. And even if you don't watch the news because, you know, you have hectic lives, you have busy lives, you or guys are
But
always,
even then, this is not going to be in the news. Like, that's another thing.
Exactly.
This is not going to be in the news.
Like, I found this story and I was literally, like, you know, researching.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, what's going on the border, you know? So, like, that's why we decided to tackle two political stories in every episode. Because this is important to know. This is important for people our age to know. And, yeah, like, we need to give this as much light as possible. And we need to make sure that these people are being treated as human. I honestly don't know what I can do physically right now. But I am going to try to get myself more, educated and involved, and see how we can do something.
That's the first step, to become educated and then, like, trying to figure out ways that you can help. Because even if it comes down to as you, like, calling, like, your congressman or, like, the representative of your state, like, it's little things like that, but just reading about it and, like, talking about it, it makes a difference as well. And it kind of, like, you know, inspires you or, like, influences you or encourages you to, like, take action on, like, these matters, because this is serious
and I just want to emphasize the fact that these are human people being kept in conditions that are just inhumane. Like, we as Americans would not keep animals in these conditions, let alone we keep in humans.
This is completely unnecessary.
This is completely unacceptable. And I'm gonna give detention on the U.S. government. I'm gonna put the U.S. government on detention, and I'm gonna put whoever the people in charge of these border patrols and all of these things and this situation, you guys are on detention into further notice. See me after class. That's all I'm gonna say.
But let's go on a lighter note.
Thank you. Moving on to our fifth story.
Me asustaste tú a mí también, coño.
Oof. I was passionate.
No, that's good. That's the energy we need.
I was passionate.
And I hope that you influence that people with that energy as well.
Moving on to our fifth story. We should have talked about, like, our rundown and how, like, we're going to be doing things this new season. So the way we're going to be doing things is that we're going to give you guys six stories every time we record a podcast. So two are going to be pop culture stories, things about celebrity, things that are happening in the pop culture universe. Two are going to be political stories that we want to tackle, we want to put light on, and, you know, just like these stories about the immigrants. And one is going to be a local story about our local people here in Jersey, what they can expect, Jersey, New York, you know, the tri-state area, and things that are happening, things that we'll be at, things that, you know, events, things like that. And then the last story is just gonna be a spot for us to talk about anything that we want to talk about, you know, like a filler type of story. So for our local story today, our local lesson, as we call it, there's this huge event happening this fall.
Okay.
Okay.
Like, mark your calendars right now.
Mark your calendars right now. If you are an artist, let me get the date, because honestly, if you are an artist, like, all I'm gonna say is this. If you have any type of artwork, if you do paintings, if you do merch,
spoken word,
if you sing, if you consider yourself an artist, please, you need to go to this event. It's called The Remedy. Can you tell me a little bit about, you went to the event last year. I was there too.
Okay, so
like, how was your experience?
Okay, so I feel like everybody in the room was very excited to be there, and mm-hmm. they were very open to see like what kind of art they were gonna find. So it's pretty much kind of like, you know, like an open space for everybody to enjoy art, to meet new people,
mm-hmm.
to individuals to immerse in their craft. So like, if you consider yourself an artist, a spoken word person, a singer, anything that you want to show people in the tri-state area and the Jersey area,
mm-hmm.
feel free to contact The Remedy, the collective,
mm-hmm.
to have your work posted.
Yes. And like I said, The Remedy is a huge event. It's going to be hosted on September 14th. So mark your calendars. The tickets on Eventbrite are going to go on sale soon. It's just such a dope energy. Like, yeah, honestly, yeah. Last time I went, I thought I was on an episode of Love & Hip Hop.
Because
it was literally like just such an amazing event. Like, it was very well ran. The three amazing women that run it are friends of ours, and it's just amazing what they have created. And this year they're doing something very special. They're fundraising money to give a scholarship to a young artist pursuing a degree in the arts. And I think that's amazing.
That's
like,
so cool.
You know, because I think it's very important to understand that they're providing a platform for someone to go get an education in the arts. And I just love that.
In general, they're just providing a platform for people to see your work.
People to see, like, have, like,
to bring awareness.
Like, you need to be heard. Your artwork needs to be heard. Your artwork needs to be seen. And this is the space to be seen at. So if you want to learn more about The Remedy, we're going to post it on our Instagram. So you can go on our Instagram and look at it. And also, so just go on our Instagram. It's just easier if you just go on our Instagram and you look at the post that we'll make about The Remedy. We'll be there.
We'll definitely be there.
I'm hosting.
Okay. I'll be there.
Work.
All right.
Yes, I'm hosting the event, and the weekly rundown will be there. We are a proud sponsor of The Remedy. We'll have our little photo booth so you can come and take a picture.
Okay.
And you never know what other things we might do that night. Yeah. Okay.
So
girls?
Just be there.
Just
all right?
Be there. Like,
don't be that one that missed out.
And tickets will go on sale soon. Okay. Moving on to lesson number 6. This is tragic. Like, I don't know, like, I don't know how, like, you felt about this when you heard about this, but this is just tragic. I have an update statement from Cameron Voice family spokesperson. As you know, Disney star Cameron Voice died a couple of days ago. The spokesperson said Cameron's tragic passing was due to a seizure as a result of an ongoing medical condition, and the condition was epilepsy.
I did not know he had epilepsy.
Me neither. Like, it's that's shocking. So like, crazy. We really don't know the people
we
see on TV.
No, that was a big shocking. Like, I woke up and that was the first thing I seen on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I had to, like, go on his Instagram to, like, check what was going on.
No.
Because it was very unexpected. It just came out of nowhere. Like, he was so young.
Yeah.
We grew
he was
up
20
watching,
years old.
We grew up watching him on TV. Like, we saw him grow up.
Mm-hmm. I grew up with him. I'm 21. He's 20. I consider myself, like, I grew up with Cameron Voice. We're still trying to, the family says that they're still trying to navigate our way through this extremely heart-wrenching time and continue to ask for privacy so that the family and all who knew and loved him can grieve his loss and make arrangements for his funeral, which in and of itself is agonizing. I think this is very sad.
Sad.
Very sad to see someone young go because of a medical condition. I think that in recently, we have been losing a lot of important people and a lot of people that just been, you know, shining lights in our worlds. Like, Cameron Voice, I remember him being just so bubbly, just so funny on Jesse. Like, that was one of my favorite shows.
Yes. Yes, I used like, to watch that all the time.
Jesse was sister. Literally one of my favorite shows. And it's sad. Like, it was really a shocker to see someone of that age, as someone that I used to watch as a kid all the time, die. Like, it's just... But at the end of the day, something that I've learned, I had an uncle that passed away recently, and I had to fly to the Dominican Republic. And that experience made me learn that grief is hard, but you need to be very open-minded and very, like, accepting to the fact that it is what it is.
But I feel like grief as well is, like, for certain individuals, it's a new way to learn to love a person that's no longer with you. Yes. Because grieving is love.
Yeah, grieving is love. And at the end of the day, like, it's hard because when you love a person so much and when you're close to someone, it's like you can't understand the fact that they're not with you anymore. Yeah. And sometimes we associate death with being negative. Yeah. But death is not something that is necessarily negative in, you know, whatever religion you believe in, in whatever type of, like, mentality you have. You know, in my mentality, like, I like to believe that, you know, these people are going on to better things, and it was just their time. And everybody has a time, and there's a reason why things happen. And I just want to believe that he's in a better place now.
Yeah.
And I hope that hope that his family finds peace, and all of his coworkers. Like, he was in a movie called Descendants that is about to come out in August for Disney.
Oh my God, no way.
Like, that's gonna be hard. Like, I don't know what's gonna go on.
You know the person that he was on the Jesse show with? I can't remember his name. It was a little Indian boy.
Uh-huh.
They lived together.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So everybody was like, yo, like, was he the one that found him? Like, it's just so crazy.
No, it's literally so crazy. But we just wanted to give you that update on Cameron Voice. And we're rest in peace, Cameron, and we're praying for the family, and we're wishing everybody the best, and we'll heal from this. Like, you know, we got it together. Just be there for each other, and that's it, you know? Moving on to a new segment that we like to call Celebs Working
OT.
So, in this segment, we're gonna be promoting celebrities that are doing good things for the community, for their audience, for their fans. Like, we just love when celebrities are doing something good, because they're always being criticized for being, you know, like, snobby and, like, never doing anything for anybody. And we just need to sometimes
recognize that they do use their platform
for better things and for good things.
To bring awareness to social issues and things like that.
Like, first up is Nicki Minaj. Even though I used to be a Barb and I used to be a Nicki Minaj.
Really? Yes. You look like
I used to be a Barb. And I used to be a Nicki Minaj stan. I'm a fan still, but I'm not a stan anymore. But Nicki Minaj cancels her Saudi Arabia concert after receiving backlash that it is important, and she says it is important to make clear my support. Nicki Minaj has made up her mind after receiving backlash that the Queen rapper revealed on Tuesday that she's canceling her performance in Saudi Arabia, but for a good reason. She told the Associated Press she pulled out for her show after educating herself on the many issues women and the LGBTQ community and other minority groups face in the country. By canceling her concert, she says she wants to make clear of where she stands. After careful reflection, I have decided to no longer move forward with my scheduled concert at the Jeddah World Fest, she told the publication. While I want nothing more to bring my show to the fans in Saudi Arabia, after better educating myself on the issues, I believe it is more important for me to make clear my support for the rights of women, the LGBTQ community, and freedom of expression. I think that this is amazing that she's doing this. I think that as a business aspect, I know that, you know, taking this concert out of the lineup is probably like, it's an expense. It's an expense that she's not getting back. You know, it's money that she's not going to be making. But I think it's important. I think that it's, I really look up to her, and I really say kudos to her, and you get a gold star on today's class, because, you know, for you to pull out your concert because you want to support women in the LGBTQ community, like, just speaks about you and your character. Yeah. Like, I love that. I'm sorry about that. But, yeah, so, you have another one. You cashed Jaden Smith.
So, moving on to Jaden Smith. So Jaden Smith recently celebrated his 21st birthday in a very special way. He took it upon himself to launch a vegan food truck in Los Angeles to feed the homeless. As you may know, Los Angeles has one of the highest rates of homelessness, with an estimate of approximately 50,000 people out in the streets.
That's insane.
50,000 people. That's crazy.
That's insane.
So on the first day, because this is an ongoing thing, on the first day, the I Love You restaurant delivered bowls of kale and carrots to an estimated 8,000 people in need. It is a movement that is all about giving people what they deserve, healthy vegan food for free. Keep a lookout because this is the first of many, the icon stated in an Instagram post. But this is not the first instance in which Jaden or either Smith sibling has stepped up and taken action on a social issue like this. So back in March, Jaden partnered with a church to provide Flint, because Flint still has no clean water. That's Can insane. We, like, talk about that?
Can we talk about the fact that Flint has no clean water?
Since 2014. It's 5 years later.
That's insane.
So he partnered with the church to provide Flint with clean water through a mobile water treatment system. The system is called the Water Box, and it filters out lead and additional contaminants in water. So shout out to Jaden. Jaden just turned 21 and he's doing all these big things.
Like, That's amazing. I wish that I had the money that he has, because if I had the money that he has, I'll probably be doing the same thing.
Yeah, he's using the resources and platform.
This is what I've been talking about. If you have money, if you have a platform, if you're a celebrity, you are already rich.
Yes!
You're already rich!
You have it all, pretty much.
Take a month to do something for other people.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
He did it for his birthday. That's what's so amazing.
He gets a gold star, too.
Yeah.
He gets a gold star.
No, he got the class trophy, all right?
No, he gets a class trophy.
So back in April, his sister, Willow Smith, she did something as well, because it's not only Jaden Smith. It's like the whole family. No, Will, that whole family Smith.
Will and Jada just did such an amazing job with this kid. Yes. It's like insane. Even though they had a rocky, growing up,
There were people on social media attacking them because they felt like they were giving their kids too much freedom. But they're their own people. Look what they're doing.
They're amazing humans.
So back in April, his sister Willow Smith teamed up with Adidas. Adidas.
Our accents are literally out of control.
Yeah, but what can we really do? We give the podcast personality.
No, literally.
So whatever. So she teamed up with Adidas for 100% recyclable sneakers, bringing awareness to the ecosystem of our planet to minimize plastic waste. Along with Partly for the Oceans, plastic from the ocean is collected to create the beginning of the end of waste. The shoe, Futurecraft Louvre, is set to be released in 2021. So this is a shoe that basically could never be thrown out. Like, it's a recyclable shoe.
That's amazing.
Yes, and they're gonna be collecting the plastic waste in the ocean to make these shoes.
That's amazing.
I hope this is as popping as any Jordans that or any Nike.
No, I hope that they're cute, because I will wear them.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're gonna be cute.
I'll probably buy a pair just to support.
Yeah, Willow Smith got style, so I'm pretty sure they're gonna be cute.
I think it's amazing that they're cleaning the ocean
to
give people sneakers. Yeah. You know, I think that's amazing. And I think that, I can't.
Yeah.
I
stand, though. I stand. This is, my favorite part of the podcast. No. I just love seeing that, what is being done.
No, you know what I mean? This is a really nice segment.
We did that.
Moving on to jaw-dropping moment of the week. Go.
So, because I'm just still in shock with what has been going on with A$AP Rocky, and y'all know I'm crazy for that man, okay? So the jaw-dropping moment of the week is gonna go to the shockingly inhumane conditions that A$AP Rocky is being held in the Swedish jail.
And that's it.
But y'all need to know the details, because everybody's talking about the inhumane conditions, but nobody's really talking about the specifics of everything that's going on.
Can you give me the details?
So first of all, he's been sleeping in a yoga mat with no blanket or pillow.
Excuse me?
And there's a prisoner in the next cell with extreme mental issues who slams his head against the concrete wall. And throws his own feces everywhere, which isn't cleaned up.
And that's not an issue. That's not an issue necessarily to ASAP. Why is that person being treated that way too?
Exactly. It's just the whole facility in general. I don't know who's the warden. I don't know if they have a cleanup team. Whatever it is, why are they allowing first of all, why is a prisoner with extreme mental issues in jail and not in a
mental facility that is there to support him?
Exactly. Like, the fact that they're allowing him to slam his head against a concrete wall is just beyond me.
And throw his feces everywhere?
Yeah. Like, he clearly, he's not fit to be in jail. Like, he needs to be in a mental facility. It just sucks that he's, like, right next to that. Like, this is what he's experiencing as we speak. And on top of that, the water is not clean, it's not drinkable, and the food is not edible as well. Sources stated so, that
for... that's not food. If it's not edible, it's not food!
So, sources stated that for the first 5 days, he ate one apple a day. That's crazy!
Oh, my God. I don't want to laugh, but that was funny. One apple a day.
Like, that's all he's able to eat. One apple a day,
Rocky gets his freedom.
Yeah, he's just not... He doesn't have appetite. He just doesn't want to eat, like... He's not in the right place. Like, he doesn't. Yeah.
Success.
Yeah. With Lana Del Rey. Yeah, they was cute. He's still cute. Okay.
No, literally.
I can't wait to see him when he gets out. And all in all, his lawyer stated that walking into the facility was like walking into a toilet.
Oh my God.
Yo, where is Jay-Z?
Justice for Rocky.
Where is Jay-Z? I can't wait until Jay-Z puts, like, you know, like his, his connections and. That's what he has to do because this is, like, completely unnecessary.
No, justice for Rocky, 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 justice
for Rocky.
Sign
the petition, y'all.
Like, sign the petition, justice for Rocky.
Even Erykah Badu posted about this shit.
No, like, celebrities are coming out of the woodworks.
Jay-Z gotta come out of the... What is it?
I don't know. The woodworks? I don't know. Woodworks? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, moving on to Ass of the Week, because, you know, as we promote positive things, we also gotta, you know... Highlight and make you aware of the motherfuckers of the week. Ass of the Week goes to racist Twitter, because Disney's creating a new live-action version of their animated classic, The Little Mermaid, and Halle Bailey has been chosen to play Ariel. Some fans criticized Disney for casting a black actress in the lead role. Disney's rebuttal was, mermaids aren't one race or another. They aren't even real.
So what is the problem?
Let me say this, because this has been in the news for a week now, and I needed to be out of the news cycle. I am sorry, but... Ariel is a mermaid.
What does that matter?
And you know Ariel is nor either white or black. If a white actress was casted as Ariel, we wouldn't even be talking about this.
Yo, she's a fictional character.
And even when you see different movies, because Ariel is just like any other princess. It's a franchise. There's the Ariel Little Mermaid movie. There's the Ariel show. There's different like Little Mermaid stuff. And in every Little Mermaid thing that I've seen, Ariel is a different color.
It does not matter.
Like, she's a different shade. In some, she's a little darker. In some, she's a little lighter. Like, it is what it is.
But you know what's crazy? It's just colorism. Like, it's really not that relevant.
Like, I don't, you know I how don't talented, care.
You know how talented Halle Bailey is?
Oh, it's Halle Bailey? I thought it was Halle.
I don't even know.
Well, oh, my God.
Moral of the story is that she's talented as fuck. Have y'all seen the clip of her singing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she sounds like a straight up Disney princess.
No, and like, I'm excited because she can sing. They won't have to, you know, put someone singing in the background. Like, she can sing. She's gonna do it all. I'm excited to see her.
She's a good actress too.
I'm excited to see her acting because I loved her in Grown-ish.
Yes.
And also, I just know she's not gonna fail because she's signed by Beyonce.
Like, she is?
Yeah, Chloe X.
Oh,
Halle,
they are?
They're signed by Beyonce.
That's why. There was a tweet that was talking about how, like, Beyonce only agreed to do the Lion King movie if they let her, like, give, you know, like, what's the word? Suggestions of, like, future actresses and stuff.
I don't believe that. I don't know if I believe that because I don't want to credit Hales, whatever.
With Beyonce.
I don't want to credit her success on landing this role to the fact that Beyonce was the one that, like, put her on. Even, I don't mind if Beyonce put her on. Yeah. But let's just not go there. Let's just
recognize assume the that real talent.
She got this herself. Honestly, I'm going to need white Twitter to get the fuck out of here.
And get it together. And get over together. Yourselves. There's more important things happening right now.
Yeah, like, and that's it.
Flint still has no clean water. Y'all worried about a black little mermaid?
And there's humans on the border being treated like animals. And y'all worried about little Alice, Ariel being black.
First of all, our planet is dying and y'all worried about a black little mermaid.
Like, black there's or so white, many, like, what does that matter?
There's so many more important
in the words of Michael things. Jackson, black or white, I don't know. We don't know. You don't know that song?
No.
Oh my God, that's one of my favorite Michael Jackson songs. Even though, like, Michael Jackson is very problematic, but I'm not going to go there.
Okay, rest in peace, Michael.
Moving on to our weekly spotlight. Our weekly spotlight, this is kind of just like celebs on the working OT, but weekly spotlight is going to be where we're emphasizing and promoting, like, people of color and doing great, amazing things.
Yes, I love that.
The Shade Room posted something that just, I was like, oh my God. They posted this, like, slideshow of things. It's called Black Excellence is at an all-time high, and we're here for it. The first billionaire hip-hop artist is black. The first American, period, not just male nor female, to win a medal at every world championship is black. Majority of the roles in the Lion King cast are black.
Yes.
The youngest player to qualify for Wimbledon.
What?
Wimbledon.
Okay.
Wimbledon. Wimbledon, which is that tennis match, that tennis championship.
Yeah.
At age 15 years old, is black. The current WWE champion is black.
What?
MJ in Spider-Man is black.
What?
Ariel and the Genie are black.
Yes, the Genie.
The youngest executive producer is black. The richest female musician is black. Miss America, Miss Teen USA, and Miss USA are all black women. Like,
that's a great way to close the fucking,
like,
show.
Like, okay? That's it. Like, I'm honestly, and like, I can't. Like,
we stand.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we stand these people, and like, we're here for it. And I just want to say that, like,
white racist.
Like, you know,
we win.
If you're racist, if you're racist, like, we just, this is not, if you're racist, like, literally, like, get off this podcast right now. Like, this is not your place.
No.
This is not your place. No. And to continue on, as we close, quote of the week, I had this quote up, but I changed it. I have this screenshot. It says, happiness over history. You gotta let that toxic shit go.
Okay.
And I agree with it. Choose your happiness over your history.
I agree.
It does not matter if you have history with someone. It does not matter if that person's been in your life for forever. If they're being toxic, put them in detention. Put them in detention. Send them to me. I'll put them in the class.
No, expel them.
Like,
expel them.
No, they're expelled from class.
Yeah.
They're expelled. They're not allowed in this classroom. They're not allowed in my vicinity. They're not allowed. My happiness is more important than your toxicity. I don't know if I said that right.
No, but you did.
But, and I clap.
No, and honestly, I kind of, like, needed this quote, like, what, like, a month
happiness
ago?
Over history.
Okay.
And I clap.
It's crazy how, like, we really just disregard our own, like, happiness for shit like
no,
that.
No, I can't. Like, I'm over it. Like, I choose my,
like,
happiness.
History is non-existent.
Like, I choose my happiness. I don't give a fuck what you did for me 2 years ago. I don't give a fuck what you did to me yesterday. I don't give a fuck. But if you're being toxic to me, I'm cutting you out, because that's just what I'm doing and how I'm moving. And that's just my energy.
Love it.
And I clap. With that being said, thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen to us once again for season 2, episode 1.
It's
long overdue. Make sure to follow The Rundown on Instagram at Official Weekly Rundown to stay updated through the week, and make sure to spread tons of love and positivity every day 25/8. Also, share this podcast.
Okay.
Because, like, we're working OT.
Okay.
Like, we are working OT. So share this podcast. Follow us, subscribe to us on Spotify, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your podcast, we're on it, okay? So subscribe to it, stay blessed.
We're back.
My name is Beyonce, and I am out.
Okay, bye.